following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this March 23rd, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a gorgeous Monday afternoon in the Auburn Opelika area. We are back in studio after a phenomenal day on Friday out at the Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge. Doug Amos of the Max Roundtable, us for On the Line. The Drive was there as well. We had so much fun in the time that we were there, and we thank our friends at SensiGreen Heating, Cooling, and Insulation for making that possible. Always a blast to get out there and tip off the tourney. We'll be out there again during football season at some point, and I'm sure a couple of other times as well. So thanks to everyone who came out, who engaged and was a part of it. We love that. That's one of the cool things about going on location. So happy to be there, but happy to be back in the studio as well with so much to talk about. Christian, happy Monday to you, sir. Just kind of close your eyes and pick and decide where you want to begin today, because that's a loaded show.
It really is, and what a good problem to have. Shout out to everybody that still has a perfect bracket going into the Sweet 16. Oh, wait. There are none. There are officially zero perfect brackets except for the one person that claims that they wrote it on paper and didn't take any pictures of it. But yep, it's been hanging up on my fridge since January. I already knew the seed lines and everything. But my
trust
goodness.
Trust me, bro.
Yeah, sources. Trust me. What a weekend it was in just the sporting world in general. We have a whole lot to talk about. The madness continuing on the hardwood. We have a full Sweet 16 preview that we get to break down now for the next couple of days. We're talking a little bit of Auburn baseball in there as well. Save the frustration, save the positive comments as well, as we get to dive into a little bit of that. But priority for tomorrow, but we'll dive into a little bit more of that generic talk here this afternoon. Auburn baseball, or Auburn basketball rather, in the NIT, making it to the Elite Eight. Hey,
yeah,
all I know is that some teams are still playing basketball.
Yeah, we are built for March, baby. We are built for March. Somebody texted and said we need some NIT Final Four merch with a Nevada win. Can we get some of that? I guarantee, ooh, they'll make it somewhere. For the eight people that travel to Indianapolis for it, bring us back a t-shirt, will you? And we'll hang it in the studio in your honor.
You can sign it, too.
I'll sign it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Make it lose even
makes it
more
goes
value.
Down in value. Yes. Yes.
No, we're diving into a little conversation on that side of things, as it is worth giving the update, talking a little bit about the game last night. And then we're even hitting football here today. Priority in hour number two. That's where we're starting, as a couple of these betting sites have way too early win projections for the SEC. And so we're obviously going to give our correct expert analysis on teams that are too high, teams that are too low, and we're going to be able to break down the exact reason why we think that is the reason and why it's going to be right once September, October, November hit in the football calendar. Also, a conversation on how to fix Jordan-Hare Stadium, because over the past couple of years, there's been some people that have done some research on the overall record, and this is not necessarily the fans, this is not necessarily the building, the Coliseum itself, but Auburn is the third easiest place to play in the SEC since 2021, so we get to have a conversation on how to fix that here this afternoon as Auburn's spring practice rolls into its first full week. I guess this is technically day seven, but then the full week that we have everybody getting hyped up on the Auburn side of things, being able to post a whole bunch of videos. And so, yeah, so a whole lot to talk about on the show today. And I don't know if it's Victory Monday because of basketball. I don't know if it's Monday because of baseball. I don't know if it's fantastic Monday because it's March Madness. And
I mean, it's a happy Monday, I think. Sure. I mean, overall, I would say so.
Pros outweigh the cons a little bit.
If I were a betting man, which I'm definitely not.
What is that?
I don't know. I've never even heard of it. I don't even think it's legal, right? I would be willing to bet that we don't hit everything on our rundown today, and whatever we don't, we'll carry into tomorrow, and then the next day, and the next day, and the next day. But the reason for that is because we're terrible at time management, but we also want you to be a part of the show today, which takes precedent over everything. So phone lines are open. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. 1390, you can give us a call. Your thoughts on the NCAA tournament, your thoughts on Auburn baseball, your thoughts on Auburn basketball, anything else on your mind. If you want to talk about the Luke Kennard game-winning three for the Lakers that they just showed, you're more than welcome to talk about that.
Did you see the interview with LeBron?
Yes, I did.
Once I saw whose hands it was in, I pretty much knew it was going in.
The guy that hit his first ever go-ahead winner in the NBA, that guy.
Yeah. But LeBron knew.
LeBron knew. I mean, talk about a trust me, bro. It's LeBron.
LeBron basically knew that Bam Adebayo was going for 80 the other night. So.
I mean, nobody knows more than LeBron does. And look, I'll never forget, I know you have a lot of these moments with some baseball guys. Luke Kennard is the guy that I have this, not relationship, but I have an emotional tie to. Luke Kennard is one of the guys that when I was in high school in Ohio, I watched him play in the state tournament in basketball for several years. So that's the connection. So I always enjoy watching Luke Kennard play because, again, I got to watch him live and in person several times
basketball. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, getting to the phone lines here in just a second. But talking about the connections have growing up and everything.
I'm saying you have a lot of those with baseball. Luke Kennard's the big one that I have from basketball. So it was pretty cool to see him hit that game winner for the Lakers.
Trying to think if I have anybody for basketball. I know there's a lot for baseball. There's a lot for football as well, being from the University of High School.
Yeah.
But I can't really think of anybody off the top of my head for...
We called him Kook Lennard, just to be funny. That's like, that's what everybody...
Kook Lennard?
Yeah, you just, you know... So don't ask me why we called him that, but that's just what it was. He was Kook Lennard, and that dude was nasty. He was so good in Ohio. So... There you go.
There was one. We were playing in a high school tournament down in somewhere in Florida, and it was one of those huge complexes that that had like all the baseball fields and a couple of the basketball gyms as well. And I mean, this is when we were, I mean, early teenagers, but Grayson Allen was playing there. And we were like, why are there so many cars here?
Yeah.
Figured out that was the reason. We went to go watch a little bit of the first half, and holy cow. It was basically like watching a starting pitcher that throws 98 and you're seeing 40 scouts behind home plate with a radar gun. Yeah. It was that for Grayson Allen. So that is the one for basketball for me.
Luke Kennard played at Franklin. Again, I'll never forget it. He was, I know he was Mr. Ohio basketball once. I don't know if he won it more than that. I know he was at least once. I also know that he passed LeBron James for the all-time scoring record in the state of Ohio. So, you know, that's how good that dude was. His NBA career's been shaky, but, yeah, he had a game winner the other night. So if you want to talk about that, you can.
Kook Lennard going to Pook.
Kook Lennard going to
Pook Universe.
Yep, pretty much. So we got a ton to get to on the show today. Phone lines are open again, 334-321-1390. Who do we have?
And we're getting to him right now. John in Auburn, you get to start us off on this Monday afternoon. How you doing, sir?
Hey, guys. Happy Monday. You know, baseball went 2-2 against top five teams in the country, and we're like, eh?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's amazing that that's the place we are with that program right now, that we can have that kind of week, and it's still kind of a mad week with how it ended. But, I mean, historically, that's really good.
It's really good. And when you look at the college baseball rankings, I think they show that respect because Auburn stuck right where they were at number five. So I don't think that there's people outside of Auburn that even if you watched or you didn't watch, you still respect what Auburn was able to do in the full 7-day span. And I think they get a lot of respect from that.
Agreed. And one last point I had on basketball in general, I was imagining if you had, just follow me here, kind of a what-if game. If Keyshawn Hall and Aiden Holloway were on the same basketball team, I would think the next year that team would probably go undefeated in college basketball. Have a great Monday.
Yep, thanks, John. Appreciate it. That's what the historical trends would tell you, right? That whenever those two guys leave somewhere, typically the team follows it up with a historic season or at least a successful season, right?
Good thing Alabama didn't look good last night.
No, not at all. Good thing they didn't, you know, do what they normally do and just light it up and just
my favorite
run
thing,
away
though,
from Texas Tech.
Is because of social media and how all of the fan bases just blend based off of the comments and the tweets and the whatevers, just the in and outs of conversation is I see a lot of the Alabama fan base on my timeline as well, and they're already expecting them to go 0-41 from 3 in the next game.
They've
just
been
based
there,
off
done that,
of
man. Yeah.
The law of averages and how well they shot last night.
I mean, isn't that how it goes with Nate Oates and his squad? So we'll see. But, man, how good was the first round in the second round, the first several days of the NCAA tournament? I mean, on Friday, we were able to discuss a bunch of games that had already happened or taking place or that were upcoming, right, on Friday night. Nothing overly crazy happened Friday evening. Missouri got dominated by Miami, right?
Final 5 minutes hurt.
Yeah, they did. I mean, you had a lot of blowouts in there. Texas Tech over Akron. Of course, Bama over Hofstra in the first game. But then you got into the weekend, right? Then you got into the round of 32. Michigan did what they do. Duke continued to roll. Houston, ouch, on Texas A&M. What happened to Buckyball? I thought Buckyball could do anything. I thought Bucky McMillan was just him. I thought that team was so much better than their record, and they were better than a 10 seed. Yeah, Kelvin Sampson said, shut your pie hole and take this. 88-57. There was a team who showed the flaws of that Texas A&M team, and Houston did it to perfection on Saturday.
Yeah, it was one of those that you watched a little bit of, and very early on you realized, oh, this is what happens.
There is a difference.
Yeah, Texas A&M shoots 35%. They go 6 of 24 from the three-point line. And Houston didn't necessarily shoot it great outside the three-point line. They were 8 of 31, 26%. But you compound that 26% with then shooting 44% from the floor, goes to show you how well they dominated in the paint. The free throw line goes to show you that as well. They went 20 of 25, and the rebounding numbers.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Ouch.
46 to 29 in favor of the Houston Cougars. Houston also only turned it over 7 times. A&M only turned it over 11, but 19 offensive rebounds for Houston. That is one of those stat lines of you could show me the rebounding category and the free throw line, and that would be about all that I would need to watch.
Yeah, Michigan State beats Louisville quietly, beat Louisville. Illinois handed it to VCU down the stretch. How about Nebraska-Vandy? One of the games of the tournament so far.
How did it not go?
How did it not go?
Did it not go in?
I've seen people asking for the world's best physicist to look at the play and ask why that shot didn't go in. That was worse than Butler 2010 against Duke in the national championship.
That one was
game.
At least offline a little bit where it hit the backboard and then kind of the front middle of the rim. Tyler Tanner's hit the backboard, the front of the rim, and then what felt like the backboard, the front of the rim, the back iron, the front of the rim, the top of the backboard, the front of the rim, the bottom of the net, and then popped out.
Tyler Tanner had a great game. 27 points. He was unconscious down the stretch. And if that shot have gone in, right, we would have said, of course it did, with how he was playing down the stretch. Vanderbilt, with one of their better seasons in quite some time, it comes up short in the round of 32 against Nebraska. And that's unfortunate because they were playing good enough basketball to get to the Sweet 16. They just ran into a solid Nebraska team, and that was a lower scoring game than I anticipated it would be. I thought both teams would easily clear the 80s, but they both showed up and shows Nebraska and the Big Ten is pretty legit.
Yeah, Nebraska slowed down Vanderbilt a lot to where we were looking at it at halftime, and it was 39-32. Nebraska had the lead, yet Vanderbilt was like, I mean, I don't remember the exact percentage, but it was to a point of, okay, Vanderbilt's actually in a really good spot considering they're only down 7 at halftime. We then got to watch a little bit of this on the back end, and it was like, okay, there's Vanderbilt with that big run. These teams go back and forth, and I guess the only thing that is not even underwhelming, but it's unfortunate that that shot overshadows the entire game, because that was all that the Nebraska players were asked about, too. And Tyler Tanner was obviously asked about it, and understandably so, but Nebraska also played good enough to win the game, and they did, and they're still playing basketball.
Exactly. And again, the Big Ten is off to a phenomenal start in the NCAA tournament. And there were a bunch of good games on Sunday that I want to talk about. There was one more game on Saturday.
I was wondering if you – High Point in Arkansas, right? Wanted to get to?
I mean, shout out to High Point. Arkansas had to sweat it, no doubt about it.
Shout out to Cameron Fletcher, who started his career with John Calipari, too, at 25-8.
Yeah.
It was cool to see Calipari's post-game press conference about that.
Yeah, well, there was another game Saturday that I in particular would like to talk about. And all the games yesterday, too, we'll have that for you when we come back, as we're just underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are open today all the way up until we talk to our guy Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. That's at 3:30. So until then, you can give us a call, 334-321-1390. Your thoughts on the NCAA tournament, on Auburn baseball, which we'll talk about here in a moment, Auburn basketball, which we'll talk about coming up here in a little bit as well, or anything else on your mind, 334-321-1390, or you could shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. I am going to text Uncle T-Bone here momentarily because we have people asking if they will sponsor it for us to go out and do a remote for the Masters coming up this year, which we actually have done Masters remotes in the past, and so I'll be sure to share that with Uncle T-Bone and see if Cinta Green will sponsor that for us. So,
gosh dang it, that would be so unfortunate.
That would be terrible. Please, we've done it before.
Please do not have those conversations
where we sit there on Friday afternoon round two where people are trying to make the cut and the leaders are moving and things like it is a ton of fun. If there's another local business out there that would like to sponsor us to be on location to do the Masters, we will in fact do it. We will do it
for the price of one azalea.
I mean, yeah, if you've got some pimento cheese sandwiches, and I mean, you start talking that now, I'll show up for free.
I mean, a free round of golf course or something.
I
will, in fact, go live from the middle of the fairway while Jacob is looking for his ball on the right side of the rough.
Correct. Yeah. If you are interested, 334-784-1067 is our text box. Just give us your name and information and credit card number, and we will happily make it happen.
I was just going to say, sorry, the amount of people that we did see at 2:30 and even before with the Max Roundtable.
Oh, yeah.
It was a party.
And I was told that it just kept getting busier even after I left, which is typically how it is, A, when we're on location, but B, at Plaza. That place gets insane, but we have a ton of fun on location, and it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun too. So seriously, if you are interested and want to have us there, shoot us a text and we'll make that happen for you. But we are talking more college basketball because The games on Sunday, yesterday, were phenomenal. But there's one more game on Saturday that I know Christian really wants to talk about.
I looked
that
up,
we haven't mentioned.
I looked up their fight song for the first time, and I have absolutely no idea the tone of it, but Gonzaga Bulldogs rally and fight with heart and hustle, triumph tonight. That was kind of in the tune of the Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Defend the kennel with all your might, bring glory to all alma mater.
Defend the kennel? That, oh, God.
Yeah, defend the kennel. G-O-N-Z-A-G-A. G-O-N-Z-A-G-A. Go, Gonzaga. G-O-N-Z-A-G-A.
Dude, that's terrible.
That's the middle of it. Defend the true blue and white. Fight on to victory? Is that what that says?
Yeah, that's what it says. And you know, it was weighing on my heart heavy today, coming into the studio, knowing we were going to talk about this game, and nobody's harder on Gonzaga than me.
No, but you have had a lot of personal growth.
I have.
This year of 2026
yeah.
has been a lot of
yeah.
overcoming triumphs. And
new year, new me.
Yeah.
26. Once I want this to be the year to be the best, right, in the year that my life changed. And so I figured maybe I should have a little bit of grace, a little bit of grace for Gonzaga. I am sad to report that the Bulldogs have been eliminated from the NCAA tournament after finishing first in the West Coast Conference, a 30-3 overall record heading into the tournament. One of the best big men in college basketball, Graham Ike, as a 3 seed with possibly the easiest path of them all. 27 straight tournaments made by Mark Few, 12 Sweet 16s, and 2 national championships. I figured this was the year that they could make a run, but they didn't. And so I figured, why not apologize and feel bad for them and acknowledge the great things that they have done.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
And then I changed my mind and said, absolutely not. Gonzaga goes down again in the NCAA tournament, this time to the 11 seed Texas Longhorns. They now miss the Sweet 16 for 2 years in a row. They've been in the NCAA tournament 27 years in a row, Christian Griffin, and they've never won it. But Mark Few's such a great coach. Mark Few's the greatest we've ever seen. They're the kings of the West. Yeah, they're also the king of the losers because they are yet again eliminated from the NCAA tournament. It's almost like playing the San Franciscos and the California Women's Penitentiary doesn't really prepare you for the NCAA tournament.
Is that right?
And how fascinating is it? How awesome is it that they lost to an SEC team, a double-digit seed in the round of 32?
A team that was heavily talked about not deserving of making it into the tournament.
And they got beat, straight up beat, by the Texas Longhorns. Congratulations, Gonzaga. You made the tournament again. And congratulations, you disappointed everyone who believed in you, because yet again, you were put on a pedestal, you were celebrated, you were praised, and you were picked to go far. And yet again, you busted everyone's bracket except this guy, who did actually pick Gonzaga to win this game initially, because I thought, ain't no way they would do it again. But they did. And I feel sorry for absolutely nobody. Yet again, Gonzaga falls short. To where now there are conversations in the Gonzaga fan base, is it time to move on from Mark Few? Or maybe Gonzaga should just join a real conference to actually be tested, to actually compete against legitimate basketball teams, to where they'll be ready for moments like this.
I don't know. The Pilots are pretty competitive on a Tuesday afternoon. Sorry, on a Tuesday evening at 11:30.
Surprised they don't play on Sunday mornings.
Basically, they do Eastern time.
Yeah, pretty much. So, no, that's how I felt. I was so excited to come in and talk about the Gonzaga Bulldogs because the story writes itself. They're a joke. They're an embarrassment. And here they are again, falling short of the goals that everybody else sets for them. Join a real conference, and I'll change my tune. Period.
Shout out to the On the Line department, too, for getting some incredible music, some background.
Do you like that?
Little Conor McGregor in there as well. I mean, we've been asking for, like, hotkeys and everything. It just takes Gonzaga losing for that to happen.
Yeah.
What better way to get that started than on a Monday afternoon at 2:25? Man, is your heart fulfilled?
Oh, yeah. I'm good. I'm good. I can be done for the show for today. I'm good. I got it out. But they did. They lost. Does it say more about Texas or Gonzaga? I think, believe it or not, after all that, I think it says more about Texas, really, on just how talented they are, how well coached they are.
That was where I was going to get to.
And the fact that they played in the SEC.
Yeah.
All of those things are true, but Gonzaga's not the program people think they are. Plain and simple. So shout out to Texas for being the upset bracket busters of the tournament.
It's just our casual tagline here of two things can be true at the same time. Texas and Sean Miller being a little bit better than people thought, and Gonzaga just being Gonzaga.
Gonzaga being Gonzaga.
Zazz.
Just Gonzaga being Gonzaga. JGBG. Ooh. I don't like how that sounds.
I don't either.
Is that the music? Oh, it is. Okay. Well, we'll come back and we will talk about some of the other games and baseball and basketball and whatever.
When the Lee Scott Academy Warriors play baseball, Tiger Country 104.5 takes you out to the game. LSA Baseball and the Lee Scott Sports Network is presented by the Orthopedic Clinic and Gouge Performing Arts Center. Also brought to you by Auburn Bank, Advanced Graphics, and Mountain High Outfitters. See the broadcast schedule at tigercountry.net. Follow Lee Scott Academy Baseball on Tiger Country 104.5 at Auburn Network's station.
Hi, this is Doug Amos with the Max Roundtable. Listen to the show each weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. to begin 7 hours of local programming on ESPN 106.7. Weekly guests include Ben Taylor, Jacob Goins, Bill Cameron, and Dan Peck from 106.7. And others included are Locked On guests Luke Robinson and Chris Gordy, the voice of Troy, Barry McKnight, and former Auburn quarterback Charlie Trotman. And we're always giving away cash and prizes, too. It's the Max Roundtable each weekday on ESPN 106.7.
Do you read more about your team in the off-season than in the season? Does your game day outfit include a brown bag with eye holes? Then you may be a fan of a BST or bad sports team. Luckily, when you bundle your home and auto insurance with Progressive, you're protected. Because seeing your painted face in the rearview mirror after a loss isn't just depressing. It's distracting. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Coverage subject to policy terms. Not available in all states or situations.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen for Pella Windows and Doors. Sometimes teams take a timeout to regroup and call the right play. When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors always has the winning game plan. They're not just window and door experts. They're experts at taking care of you and your home. At Pella, they find the products that meet your needs, and their experts install them. They do it every day, and that's why your neighbors trust them. Discover why Pella is a trusted choice for homeowners everywhere. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. That's Pella.com/Eisen.
Take your brand to the next level with Master Graphics, the local screen printing and design experts. Business, church, school, or organization, Master Graphics has you covered. Experienced designs that captivate and inspire, plus low minimums on orders, fast turnaround, competitive prices, and quality brands to choose from. Elevate your brand with t-shirts from Master Graphics on South Gay Street in Auburn. Connect on Facebook or call 887-8744 to get started today.
When your car is making a strange noise, no matter what it is, you can't just pretend it's not happening.
That's an interesting sound.
It's like your mental health. If you're struggling and feeling overwhelmed, it's important to do something about it. It can be as simple as talking to someone, or just taking a deep, calming breath to ground yourself. Because once you start to address the problem, you can go so much further. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins, and we are continuing to talk here quickly on the NCAA tournament games from over the weekend. We have made it to Sunday, where we will then go and talk a little baseball. We'll flip over to football in hour number two, and then talk to our guy, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. Phone lines continue to be open if you want to be a part of the show, 334-321-1390. And man, as good as Friday and Saturday was, I think it's easy to say and agree that yesterday may have been the best collective day of the tournament, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was one of those when you were looking at the bracket, Thursday played out a little bit better than Friday did.
Yeah, I agree.
But Sunday played out a little bit better than Saturday did, which I think goes to show you that the right side of the bracket, or the side that they played on day two of each of those days, had the stronger teams, at least when looking at it, because, again, with Thursday being the round of 64, the Saturday slate, again, was solid, but it wasn't, at least in my opinion, like what you're about to say. Sunday is, every single part of it lived up to what Sunday in the round of 32, trying to advance to the Sweet 16, very easily should, to where this could have very easily been a Sweet 16 type of afternoon, and I don't think I would have told you that you were wrong.
Yeah, Arizona, a one seed, leads wire to wire against Utah State, 78-66, and never really was in threat of losing that game, or Utah State even remotely being close. Miami just got, I don't know what happened, they got bamboozled in the second half, really, where they were actually winning in the first 20 minutes, and it was like, oh,
I think it was even the first 30.
I think it was. And then Purdue decided to, you know, wake up and realize they were the better team and do things that they do. And they out-physicaled them down the stretch. Fletcher Lawyer ended up going off. Braden Smith did what he needed to do. And Purdue showing that they were the better, more talented, better coached, more experienced team ended up winning that one by 10. Won't talk much about UConn handling UCLA. Bruins without one of their best players, you knew that this was going to be an uphill battle. And they fought for the first 20 minutes. They did. 5-point game at the half was pretty miraculous, in my opinion. But that one never really was close. Also, won't go into super detail about Alabama, who just torched Texas Tech. A game where the spread was Texas Tech favored all the way up until about 20 minutes till tip-off. And then the big money folks, the smart money folks, said, I'll take that. And Bama ended up being like a 2-point favorite at tip-off. And it's fair to say they cleared that fairly easily.
They cleared that by, what, the under 16 timeouts, where it was like 20-9, it felt like?
Yeah, they're a 2-point favorite, and they won by 25. They cleared that, what, times 12.5? Is that technically how that math works out? Something like that?
I don't know.
I don't know. They won by 25 points, dude. 25 points. They were up 49-25 at the half.
With LeBaron Filon having a poor shooting game.
Yeah.
He went 2 of 12. He had 9. But he had 6 rebounds. He had 12 assists.
So for as bad as those games were, or results were, there were 2 or 3 others that were just the definition of March.
And my goodness, you talk about the love of March, you talk about the hate of March. A team that had to survive in overtime in the round of 64 just to make it the luxury to play another game. Good thing we're granted a second life, right? You don't get that too many times, guys. Make
Take
the most
advantage.
Of it.
Yeah. Ooh.
Kentucky has more turnovers than they've ever had in a March Madness game since 1993.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good.
I believe, I have to remember the exact number, But I think I saw something that said that Iowa State was on a 39-14 run since like the 12-minute mark in the first half, where Kentucky was leading in this game and led for, again, the first most of the first half. Iowa State made a shot right before the end of the half to take the lead. And my goodness, the entire second half felt as if it was a Kentucky team that had never played together.
Oh, it's almost like that team wasn't built properly. It's almost like someone or somebody's didn't trust that Kentucky team. I didn't think they would have to fight against Santa Clara. But what did I say filling out our brackets? I said if it was anybody else playing this Kentucky team, I would pick the other team. Santa Clara was just that bad. But it shows Kentucky just wasn't that good either.
And
Iowa State hammered that team. Iowa State beat Kentucky by 19. It's the worst loss in the NCAA tournament by the Kentucky Wildcats since 1972. Think about that. Think about how many teams have played in the NCAA tournament with the Kentucky logo on their shorts and Kentucky across their chest wearing the blue and white. They just got handed their worst loss in the NCAA tournament in 50 years. That's pretty brutal. That's tough to come back from if you're Mark Pope.
Good thing that there was no hot seat for him throughout the entire season or after the first game if they would have lost, right?
Yeah, exactly. And what's crazy here is the fact that now you have, and we're going to talk, well, I'll save this. Now. I have a bunch of factoids from all this. I have another one that I want to talk about. Kentucky embarrassed by Iowa State. Do you go, which direction would you like to go here?
We'll jump outside the SEC for just a moment.
Okay, good. That allows me to use my factoid.
With one of the most criminal round of 32 games that you'll see,
which we talked about filling in brackets,
but it didn't really play out to be a very pretty game for either squad.
No, but holding on in literally the final seconds, St. John's takes down Kansas 67-65. It looked like Kansas was just down and out, beat like a drum, and St. John's was going to run to the Sweet 16, and all of a sudden, here they come. Here comes Bill Self. Here come the Jayhawks. St. John's just absolutely collapsed down the stretch, and it was them who made a play or two, and St. John's with a layup to win it by a guy who had not scored the entire game, whose shooting percentage in the tournament was horrific. But he asked to draw up the play for him. And Rick Pitino probably about, went in his pants, but he did it anyway because it's one of his guys, it's one of his leaders, a guy he relies on. And the dude made an incredible shot. What a finish. The hanging finger roll layup as he's fallen to the floor. St. John's going to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 1999.
It's one of the greatest post-game quotes you'll ever hear is Coach Pitino breaking down that play of, yeah, we called timeouts and they walked up and Dylan asked for me to, or told me to draw a play up for him. And I said, what the? You haven't scored. And the assistant said, yeah, but do it. And he said, okay. And it worked. That's why he's one of the best to ever do it, and happy for him to be able to make a run like this. And his reaction, there's so many little, not even necessarily jokes, but there's so many videos going around of coaches when their teams hit just the filthiest game winner.
Stone cold, baby.
Stone cold.
And him wearing the suit, too, being one of the few coaches to still do it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And Rick Pitino, after seeing it go in, there was not a smile. There was not a cheer. There was not a celebration. And a lot of the people in college basketball are giving him a lot of props for it because he's obviously been on the wrong end of a couple of those. And so he has felt what the opposing coach feels. And I think it's ultimately just a respect for the game. I think it's a respect for Bill Self, who also had some quotes following that game. But to be able to see a layup, turn around, and walk to half court and and shake another man's hand is pretty stone cold. It's up there with Jay Wright in the national championship where he drew up the play, and in the air he goes bang, and they win the national championship and walks the half court. No smile, anything, but sees the three go up. He says bang, and they win it, and he just walks the half courts. It's pretty sweet.
The guy that hit the layup for St. John's was shooting 7 for 36 in the last five games. That's good for 19% and had not scored in that game against Kansas. But that's the definition of the NCAA tournament. So, again, St. John's going to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 1999. Rick Pitino's two wins away from taking his fourth different program to the Final Four, which is just remarkable. But they take down Kansas along the way. And another factoid that I have, as we mentioned, the idea that Kentucky got beat, the worst beatdown they've taken in the tournament since 1972. That's a long time ago. But so is 1954. Do you know what year that represents, Christian? The year 1954 was the last time that none of Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, or UCLA were not represented in the Sweet 16. 1954 was the last time that Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, and UCLA were not. One of those teams was not in the Sweet 16.
That was back before the three-point line.
Back when the ball was made out of real cow skin. Or whatever they'd say. Isn't that crazy? Think about that for a second. Every year since 1954, one of those four teams has been in the round of 16, not this year.
How far would you have to go back for Duke to be in that conversation, too? I mean, my goodness.
Oh, I'm sure.
The start of basketball?
Probably. So that's a cool factoid. Here's another one for you. This will get us a transition to the other big games that happened. Told you that St. John's, it's their first time in the Sweet 16 since 1999. There's another team that falls into that category. Do you know who it is? It's the Iowa Hawkeyes. They are in the Sweet 16 for the first time this century. And they did it by taking down the defending national champions, 73-72, in a game I thought they had no prayer. Iowa takes down Todd Golden, Florida.
And Ben McCollum also almost took down Todd Golden.
Dude, I wish they would have let him go after it. That was incredible. First of all, the fact that that ended up being just two technical fouls and move on, kind of blasphemy, in my opinion. The Iowa dude just rearing back and letting him have it?
Yeah, Golden said in the postgame, and this is just his comments, said that the officials saw the punch, but because there was no contact, they couldn't deem it a technical foul.
So as long as you swing and miss,
it doesn't count.
Wow, okay.
So if you're ever a player that is about to, if there's any college basketball players listening right now that don't spend time at the rec in court three and court four. If you're getting swung at, you're not allowed to duck. Just take it. Otherwise, it won't be a technical.
It's like a hit by pitch, man. Just take it. You know? Don't get out of the way. Lean in. Make it, take one for the team.
Yeah,
man.
Who cares that it's 94
at the elbow? Yeah, who cares, man? Just take it. Iowa takes down Florida 73-72. Again, on paper, I thought Iowa had no chance. And they bullied Florida. And this game was bad for a while. I mean, Florida was down double digits in this game for a long period of time, and you knew that a run was coming. You knew that Florida had it in them, right? And they almost did, and they had every chance to win it, including a play with 4 seconds to go, Christian.
It was only four?
Is this how you would have drawn it up? It was like 4.2?
I think it was 4.1 or 4.2. Or maybe I think it was 4.5.
May have been. Is that the play you would have drawn up?
Yeah, so if I was sitting there, I would draw up, okay, let's have my point guard run the entire length of the floor. You're then going to try and run baseline, and then you're going to try for a bounce pass down low to a guy who's trying to seal off. Good luck. Here's 4 seconds to do so. I don't necessarily see it. I understand, if you had 8 to 10 seconds, I think it's a fantastic play. Let the point guard basically get all the way to the corner, run baseline, and instead of having a 3, you want to have a chance at a layup, or if getting fouled and you shoot free throws, sure. But with 4.5 seconds, you can go coast to coast, but you can't put on your left blinker, come to a complete stop, and then turn left and then want to make the extra pass in 4.5 seconds.
It's got to stay in. If he's going coast to coast, it's got to stay in his hands. And you can't get stuck under the basket, dump it off, expect your big man to grab the basketball, go up and make a play. There's just not enough time for it. And Iowa, moving on to the Sweet 16. Shout out to them. I gave them no shot, and they got it done. Tennessee also beat Virginia. That one got interesting, but Tennessee kind of held their arm out for most of that game and, you know, big brother, little brother style. And Tennessee, Rick Barnes, yet again, back to the Sweet 16. They're a Gonzaga-esque where they're always there. They just can't ever get over the hump, but they got another chance to do it. And Nate Amendt, in case people didn't know, is still really good at basketball. So is Gillespie.
He is really good. Nate Amendt hasn't played great, though, in the tournament, though. Had 16-4, but was only 4 of 11. But believe it or not, had shot a lot of free throws in that contest. It was only 7 of 8.
The first game of the tournament was, I didn't realize how bad it was.
Yeah, he only played 18 minutes. And I don't know if it was hurt or I don't know if it was just the fact that they knew they were up by enough to keep him healthy. But Jacoby Gillespie has played really, really good at 21-6-3. In this contest, and if you can get any points from just about anybody else, which they did, they got 13 from Boswell, they got 10 from Estrella, they got 10 from Jalen Carey, only shot 19 threes, made 8 of them, shot 25 free throws as well. This was just a true definition of almost like a ground and pound, 3 yards in a cloud of dust type of situation for Tennessee. It's okay, you stop me on first down. Okay, here, I'm going to run it on second down. You cool? Mm-hmm. You stop me on second down? Okay, cool. Here, I'm going to run it again on third down. Oh, you stop me on third down? Okay, it's 4th and 1. Stop me now. Yeah. And that's basically what Tennessee did the final 8 minutes of this game.
Yep. So the weekend was awesome for NCAA tournament basketball. We will be previewing the Sweet 16 as the week goes on, but we need to get to our final break. We'll come back, have a quick segment on Auburn baseball. Don't worry, we're going to wrap back around and talk about it with Jacob Hillman and then a bunch on tomorrow's show as well. Also, some football conversation coming up in hour number 2, but we wrap up hour number 1 after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number 1 here on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes before we start hour number 2. We're going to talk a little Auburn baseball here, just quick generic thoughts. We'll get some thoughts from Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network as well. Reminder, Tuesdays are our big baseball days. We'll have an interview with a member from Auburn baseball tomorrow. Also dive deep into the series against Texas and preview a midweek game coming up tomorrow against South Alabama. But, Christian, again, quick thoughts. We got a couple of minutes. Auburn gets a win over Texas, but they do drop the series against the Longhorns. But here's how you know it's not sky is falling here. Auburn didn't move in any of the rankings across the board. They're still a top 5 team in college baseball.
Yeah, no, and Texas stayed the number 2 team again with UCLA being at the very top. By no means is it the sky is falling, but it is frustrating, and I think it is a very good problem to have when you can walk away with a series like that and be frustrated. Butch Thompson, when we went to his luncheon and he talked about this team hasn't really had their major struggles quite yet, and he was hoping that it wouldn't have happened this weekend. I think you got a little bit of it because this team left 29 runners on base over the weekend, and 23 of those were on Saturday and Sunday. Mm. Saturday, you had every single opportunity, and you were able to get a couple of big hits, but very similar to what happened on Sunday, it almost feels like Auburn did some dirty work with backhanded people to get the walk off and the big hit with Bristol Carter on Friday, because after that, man, runners were on base, runners on first and second, runners in scoring position. Auburn just could not seem to get that big hit. Again, you had a couple of them on Saturday that got you back into the game, but you feel like you just couldn't get that one big swing. And of course, Bristol's on Saturday night was hit 98 plus miles an hour right to the third baseman, and Auburn fans couldn't even have the drama of forcing the throw over to first, was able to just step on third right in front of the Auburn dugout.
Do we have an official exit velo? Or
the announcers, I believe, said it was hit 100 miles an hour.
God, because we're sitting down the third baseline, and off the bat, you and
pitch came in at 99. I believe it was hit 100.
Off the bat, I mean,
I thought it was down.
We thought it was down between the third baseman and the bag, and God. But it goes to show, like you said, how big, I'll say it, you stole that game on Friday. You did. You came back and stole it. And you almost did it again on Saturday, too. Sunday, I think Texas handled it fairly comfortably from start to finish.
They did, but I mean, my goodness, it feels like every single time on Sunday that Auburn started any sort of rally, it came with two outs, which, again, is a very good problem to have, because if Auburn can get a walk and two hits in two innings with two outs and put up a run, that makes things that much more comfortable for the pitching staff. But when you're playing a staff like Texas that's as good as they are and was able to capitalize on every single mistake that you made on Sunday and get a couple of those clutch hits, that shows you, I don't think 5-0 was overall indicative of how close the game was just based off of what Auburn was able to do. But the run column hurts, and 29 runners left on base. That really hurts over a three-game set.
Especially against, again, the second-ranked team in the country. So we'll talk more baseball coming up in hour number two with our friend Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network, and a whole lot of it tomorrow. But coming up in hour number two, we're going to flip to the football field. I know. Can you believe it? We can't either. That's coming up next.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on ESPN. And if you missed any of hour number one, you can catch up with the podcast version of the show on our station website at ESPNAU.com or wherever you get your podcast. Because in hour number one, it was a lot of basketball, a lot of NCAA tournament, talking about the rest of the games from Friday, all the games on Saturday, all the games on Sunday as well. So we talked a bunch about that. Plus, we talked a little Auburn baseball in there too. So again, you can always go back and listen to the podcast version of the show if you missed any of it at ESPNAU.com.
And here in hour number two, we've hit the two major sports. We get to hit the third, as Auburn football spring practice is fully underway. This is now day seven, as they started last week on Tuesday and getting ready for their first full week of spring practice. And my goodness, you feel the energy, you feel the excitement coming from the guys led by Coach Alex Golish. And so we're going to dive into that a little bit, but more so on the generic side of things and maybe just a look throughout the SEC as a whole, as we're looking at a couple of the way too early win projections in the SEC and why our analysis is 100% right, and that's why people should listen to us. We'll go ahead and give you World Series odds on that as well, even though the season hasn't started, because those are always 100% right, and they mean so much. And
I'll tell you who won't win it.
You probably can. I mean, you have a 31 of 32%.
Damn right I percent, do. But don't you chance. Forget it.
The Boston Red Sox are not going to win it.
Will not win the World Series. They will make the playoffs, though.
The Miami Marlins, apologies, you will not make it.
Red Sox will make the postseason. Red Sox will, they'll be a wild card team. They'll be a wild card.
Sure.
Yeah. They'll be wild card.
But no, we are diving into the way too early win projections for a lot of the teams in the SEC. Also a conversation on Jordan-Hare Stadium and what it has or has not been over the past couple of years with the overall record since 2021. And where does that rank in terms of easiest places to play in the SEC? All of that before we get to our guy, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. We're going to talk all of the sports with him. We got Auburn basketball, baseball, football. We have Equestrian hosting the SEC championship. We have the number one team in the country, the golf team, going at it today and tomorrow in Palm City, Florida with one of their championships. And so we'll look for updates on that side of things, all with Jacob Hillman at 3:30. But until 3:30, the phone lines are open at 334-321-1390. If you have any thoughts, any comments, anything you would like to talk about, anything you'd like to build off of, or any of these projections that you have for these SEC teams that you agree with, you do not agree with, they're way too high, they're way too low, the phone lines are open for 30 minutes or so at 334-321-1390. Any quick hitters, the text box is always open at 784-1067.
And speaking of Auburn football, before we get into the planned conversation, I was scrolling through X during the break.
Formerly known as Twitter.
And in the little what's happening portion of the page on the right-hand side of my laptop screen, it said the trending topic in sports was Keontae Scott. And I said, oh, no. What happened? So I, you know, clicked on it. Nothing bad. It's actually pretty darn impressive. Miami is having their pro day today. Auburn having their pro day tomorrow. It's in the afternoon, so we're not able to be there. But would you like to take a guess at the 40 time, the unofficial 40 time that Keontae Scott just ran?
Ooh. Four. Five? No. 4:39.
Faster.
Holy cow.
He ran a 4.25 unofficial 40 time.
Okay, well, not saying there's anything bad with that. I will wait for the official time.
Yes, that was an unofficial time. Unofficial time. But that's still pretty darn impressive.
Very, very much so. But that's like fastest player ever type unofficial speed.
What is the world record?
I ran an unofficial... I don't know how many 40s I ran in my life. But playing baseball, I ran a lot of 60s. I don't know how many 40-yard dashes that I truly ran in my life.
Xavier Worthy holds the fastest official 40-yard dash time in the NFL Scouting Combine with a 4.21.
4.21. Didn't he also? He like tweaked his hamstring on that as well. Or was that?
So. Oh, I forgot about the.
Was it the guy from Washington? Oh gosh,
the guy that had it before him. 2017.
Am I talking about the same guy?
I believe so.
Hold on. Oh, gosh. We got to work deep in the memory bank here.
You got to dig on this one now. If you pull this, I'll be impressed. He's not Googling it. I can see. His hands are up.
No, my hands are up. But he tore his hamstring at, like, the 30-yard mark. I know this is not right, but for some reason, the only name that comes to my mind is John Wall. But I know that I know that's not right, but I feel like it's close enough.
It is close. You are on the right track. And you have the school. You even have the first name right.
Okay, that's okay. That's for some reason I know it is not John Wall. Oh my goodness, I don't know. We'll sit here.
Xavier Worthy beat the 40-yard dash time with a 4.21 in the year 2024. The previous record was 4.22 in 2017 by the Washington wide receiver John Ross.
Ross
the third.
Dang it. John, okay, that was pretty dang close.
John Ross.
I will take a mini win on that side of things. And yeah, I'm pretty positive that he like came up limping after the 30-yard mark and had to hobble his way to the final 10 yards, but with that took like two steps because he was going so fast.
Oh, the NFL website actually has a list of the fastest 40-yard dashes. How about that? I didn't know that.
Are you on there?
I am. I'm looking at it right now.
Page 3, right? Not all the way up there, but respectable.
What? Oh, okay.
Okay. Are you on there? I am, in fact, on the website.
Yeah. You're asking if I was on the list. No, I am, in fact, on the website. Yes, I am on the website. John Ross, Chris Johnson. Wow, that's a name.
Can't say his famous His famous touchdown.
No. Jerome Mathis. Oh, yeah.
That is who I'm thinking about, right? With the Titans and Gus Johnson.
Yes. Marquise Goodwin. That's another one. Dude, there's some names on here, bro. Yeah. How about this? Anyway, sorry to get completely off traffic or off topic and off track. But yeah, Keontae Scott just ran an unofficial 4.25 40-yard dash at the Miami Pro Day. So
it's pretty sweet.
See how that goes. Anyway, let's talk some Auburn football, huh? And talk some SEC football and whatever else we can, you know, get off topic and talk about. The idea that there are win totals out right now, according to several different betting sites, whichever one that you want to jump on. Believe that this is via FanDuel.
Yeah,
right?
That's been the most popular one, at least on this graphic side of things. I've seen a couple of the other reports, but why look at words when you can just look at logos and numbers?
Yes, so much clean. It's still aesthetically 2026 social media appealing with our short attention spans. Here we go. SEC win totals. These are the betting lines that Las Vegas has set. And a reminder why they do it, they're trying to get 50% of the people to go one way and 50% of the people to go the other way. This has nothing to do with how many games they actually think Texas or Auburn or Kentucky will win. This is just what they feel people will actually bet on. So keep that in mind, but it's still pretty close. Two teams tied at the top, two teams you would expect to be tied at the top, are Texas and Georgia. But there is not a single team in the SEC, according to FanDuel, that has a projected win total of double digits.
Yep, Georgia and Texas, both projected 9.5 wins in 2026.
Alabama, Texas A&M, LSU, all at 8.5 and tied for third place.
If Lane Kiffin goes under that in year one.
He goes 8-4 in year one with
even
the money that they've spent.
Even 9-3 might not even be good.
But won't 9-3 probably make the playoffs with that team and that brand and him as the head coach? I guess it depends on what's
happening
around them.
It would depend on the four teams that are projected either right there or above because,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's true.
That's a hard ask for five SEC teams to get in.
Oklahoma, Ole Miss, both at 7.5. Florida, Tennessee, Missouri, Auburn, and Vanderbilt. Yes, five teams in the SEC with a win total of 6.5, so they could either go 7-5 or they could go 6-6. They could go 5-, you know, they could do whatever, right? You go South Carolina's 5.5, Arkansas, Mississippi State 4.5, and then is the Kentucky one right and they just put it in the wrong spot?
I believe so.
Okay. Kentucky's also 5.5. I was about to say, no way that they're 4.5, right? Which direction do you want to go here? Do you want to go Auburn first and then we take a break and we do SEC? Or why don't we do an SEC team or two, take a break, and then go Auburn specific, huh?
Works for me.
Do you agree or disagree with anything here in particular? Too high, too low?
Ooh.
I'll tell you one I disagree with. I'll tell you a couple I disagree with.
I need to go back and look at a lot of these schedules, but I will say that 7.5 for Ole Miss feels low, especially with Trinidad Chambliss coming back. I think that number's a little low with Kawan Lacy as well.
Yeah.
7.5 feels a little bit low. What would you give? And I know that Ole Miss has been in a lot of the college football drama and the transfer portal and everything like that, but for Ole Miss to play better than LSU this year, how funny would that be?
I think it's very possible.
If only these teams played each other really early on in the season. Oh, wait. Week 3.
Week 3.
In Oxford.
How awesome is that going to be? It's almost like scheduling isn't about fairness. It's about entertainment. Crazy how that works. Kentucky at 5.5 is too low. Kentucky is a 7-win football team on paper. Doesn't mean they'll win 7 games, in my opinion. But they are a 7-win football team on paper. That Kentucky team is sneaky good, okay? They're sneaky good.
It's a tough schedule.
It is a tough schedule. It is.
Youngstown State, Alabama, both at home to get the year started. You then go to Kyle Field. I mean, that's, you're staring down the barrel right there, though, of 1-2, just based off of before you even really get your feet wet.
They'll give one of those teams a scare, though.
They will. Then South Alabama, which you would imagine at worst puts them at 2-2. At South Carolina, LSU, at Oklahoma, and Vanderbilt. That's a tough four-game stretch right there. Surprised and interested to see what South Carolina is going to look like this year. Is that going to be one of those teams that wants to make a little bit of noise, or is that going to be another team that starts 4-0 and everybody's hyped up about, and then they finish with six wins? I don't know that I can grant a win over LSU or Oklahoma, but even if that's the case, that puts you at 4-4 with Tennessee, Florida, Missouri, and Louisville.
They're a 7-5 football team. I'm looking at it right now, looking at the schedule. They're 7-5 this year.
Who are their wins? Youngstown State, South Alabama.
Louisville.
As the 14th ranked team in the country?
Yep.
Okay.
Being at home as well. That's in Lexington. Sure. I like it. I think, so there's the three non-conference games. I think they will beat South Carolina. I think they will either beat LSU in an upset at home or Vanderbilt at home. Probably Vanderbilt, obviously. They will beat Missouri on the road. How many is that?
Need one more.
Florida at home.
Could you imagine? The world is not ready for that.
No. The world is not ready. I'm telling you, the world is not ready for a competitive Kentucky football team.
Watch everything just drift. Mark Pope at Kentucky, frustrating season. Everything's going to Kroger Field, baby.
Yeah, could be. So that's my team that's too low. Who's too low for you on this list? Again, SEC win totals, according to FanDuel.
Yeah, I think Ole Miss is a bit low for me. I guess I need to go back and officially look at their schedule. But just looking at this initial graphic, I would imagine 8 wins for Ole Miss. Was looking at it. That is Auburn's Halloween game, which it usually is, but it's in Oxford at night, I believe. I don't know if that was confirmed, but it always is the night game.
It typically is,
For Halloween. And so
who's
that
too high
be
on this list?
Who?
We'll talk about Auburn in the next segment.
Man.
Figured you had this ready to go, locked in the chamber.
I did. And then the more that I thought about it, it's more of a, I think Texas is going to be fine. Do I bet against Kirby Smart? If Alabama was at 9.5, I'd say they were too high. Does A&M have a fall-off year, but Marcel Reed's coming back? For the sake of it, I'll say Vanderbilt's too high. Just because of a lot of changes and Diego Pavia not being there.
I'm going to say that Oklahoma is too high. Road trips to Michigan, Georgia, Florida this season. They also have to host Texas, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M.
Well, Texas is Red River.
Oh, true. Still, they're not going to win. They'll lose at Michigan. They'll lose at Georgia. They'll lose against Texas. They'll lose at Florida. They'll lose one of Ole Miss and Texas A&M at
home. You only need one more, yeah.
Meaning they still have to beat their other two non-conference games. They still have to beat Kentucky. Okay, they have to go to Stark Vegas. They have to host South Carolina, which isn't crazy, and then at Missouri at the end of the year. The schedule isn't terrible down the stretch. Oklahoma's too high. They're a 7-5 football team.
Good thing is that we sit there and talk about teams that are too high or too low. And we've thrown Auburn in that conversation a whole lot of, ain't no way that this is the number they only end up at. And over the past couple of years, they have nailed Auburn.
Here we go again. Auburn either goes 7-5 or 6-6.
Nah. 9.5. 9-3, baby. 10-2. Trip to Atlanta. And then a trip to New Orleans, baby. There's the prediction. You heard it here first.
You heard it from one side of the desk. We'll talk about the Auburn Tigers and their 6.5 win total as spring practice is underway. Too high, too low. We talk about that, about the Tigers, coming up next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And talking college football win totals, according to our friends at FanDuel, where they have Auburn at 6.5 wins for the 2026 season. Also, side note on something we forgot to mention in the first hour, when we were talking NCAA tournament basketball, only the third year in a row where no mid-majors have made the Sweet 16 back-to-back years. Third year ever. Sorry. Third year ever, 2 years in a row, that no mid-majors have made the Sweet 16. 1996, 2025, and 2026 are the 3 years that a mid-major has not made the Sweet 16.
So you're saying that...
times are a-changing.
Yeah, chalk is becoming more popular?
Darn. Forgot how to run this whole board. But you're telling me that chalk is now the way to go? I mean, that's a popular way to look about it.
Chalk-ish.
We've also seen that Auburn is the only major team left in the NIT tournament as well.
Hang the banner.
So.
Hang the banner.
Do with that what you will.
Anyways, I saw that and forgot to mention that earlier. I dropped like 18 different nuggets, and that wasn't one of them, but that's okay. Speaking of nuggets, you could bring home gold nuggets if you bet or don't bet on Auburn's win total. 6.5, do you like that? It's professional as it gets right there. 6.5 is the projected win total for the Auburn Tigers in 2026, who have begun spring practice. Not a ton of storylines outside of the manufactured one from other fans of SEC teams with Byron Brown. And I think his arm is a little sore from the weird throwing motion that he's got. But he'll be all right. He'll get it worked out.
Yeah, I saw that the last time it was only like a 45-yard deep pass. And so, honestly, like, that's it.
And Auburn said, here, let's slow it down if you want to look at it a little bit more, which I think was awesome. Also, I really liked the videos of Alex Golish on day one running around and just hyping everybody up and just sprinting from one dude to the other and just like making them look at him and dap him up. And it's like, all right, have a good day. And they didn't run to the next guy.
And they posted videos today of every coach just walking down the lines of everybody stretching. And I think they have the POV cam on the top of the GoPro on top of Byron Brown's helmet, and it's cool watching him run over and talk with teammates, talk with the offensive line, talk with the defensive line. It's obviously easier said right now, but according to a lot of the quotes that we hit last week with Xavier Atkins talking about it, it feels like the energy is a little bit different. And I know that that is one of the most overused and over-talked about topics of a conversation of this year it just looks a little bit different. This year it just feels a little bit different. But Auburn needs it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it's just clinging to false hope, the energy and the activity that Alex Golish has brought so far.
I mean, I would say, and I think a lot of Auburn fans, maybe not me, but I think a lot of Auburn fans would say that Auburn, you know, hit a hole in one with Alex Golish on this hire.
Yeah, I would say so.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still brought my putter, though.
We had somebody text in, Eric in Auburn says, you have gold nuggets if you bet the over on Auburn's 6.5 win total this season.
Well, here, rapid fire, without thinking twice. I know we've had a couple of conversations, but don't think about the numbers that are adding up. Don't think about anything like this.
Okay.
Baylor.
Win.
Southern Miss.
Win.
Florida.
Lose.
Vanderbilt.
Win.
Tennessee.
Lose.
Georgia.
Lose.
LSU.
Lose.
Ole Miss. At Ole Miss.
Lose.
Arkansas.
Win.
Mississippi State.
Win.
Samford.
Win.
Alabama.
Lose.
6.
There you go. But that is me making judgment picks on games that, at least for now, Auburn is supposed to win.
Sure.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
And supposed to lose, right? All you got to do. God, here we go again. Is it this time already?
With that prediction, all you got
to
do is get.
We're not to that time of the year yet. We're not there. We're not there.
It is March 23rd, 2026 at 3:27 p.m. And Jacob's realization has just hit.
Dadgummit, man. I picked games that Auburn is supposed to win. But all you got to do is win one that you're not supposed to win. Does that sound familiar, Auburn fans? Florida at home, Tennessee on the road, Georgia on the road, LSU at home, Ole Miss on the road, and Alabama on the road. That's seven games that you will not be favored in. I don't know. You might be favored against Florida at home. Week three, you think you're favored at home in that game?
Toss up.
Depends on if you beat Baylor or not. It also depends on, oh no, Florida will have two games. Florida Atlantic and Campbell. That's the two games that Florida plays before they come to Auburn. So you feel like the Tigers should have the advantage in that, playing Baylor in the opener. Even if you lose against Baylor, you've at least seen legitimate competition. That's going to be the come-to-Jesus moment for that Florida team, with a new coach and a new staff and new players.
Yeah.
Their first trip and their first real game of the year is Auburn. Look out.
It's going to be a lot of interesting conversations between those two head coaches to start SEC play.
Yeah. The storylines going into that game will be just fascinating.
Is that the same weekend, September 19th, as LSU Ole Miss? I know that that's their first game. Is that week
Hold
three?
On. If so, yep, that's, it is.
That's an incredible.
Yep, it is.
No way they drew that out purposely,
wow,
right?
That's so crazy how it just coincidentally happened that way. Wow. After LSU opens up with Clemson in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, that'll
be at the real Tiger Stadium.
That'll be a fun rematch. I'm sure that won't be claimed at all by LSU.
And I'm sure that won't go really bad for the team in orange. LSU by a million. All right, we'll take a break. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us next.
Halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And before we get to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, and I'm sure we'll mention this. God, that hurt. God.
Funny bones are never funny.
No, it wasn't even the funny bone. I just caught the actual just elbow bone, and God, man. God. All right, it's no longer a happy Monday. It's just Monday, dude. God. I just slammed my elbow on the desk here.
WWE style.
I mean, just, like I was going.
Watch out.
Yeah, pile driver. Golly, that hurt. Anyways, I don't even know what I was going to say.
It's one of those cold sweat moments where you just forget
everything.
Dude,
that thing's going to hurt. Good thing we're not playing a lot of golf right now. But, all right, never mind. I had something I wanted to say, and I don't remember what it was. So let's do another perfect segue transition radio style. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. Hopefully you're having a better day than I am now. Happy Monday, sir.
Well, I hope that elbow heals up soon so that way you can get back on the golf course like you were saying, Jacob. And hey, I want to say appreciate you for your work last night on the NIT broadcast with myself and Andy and Randall. And we always appreciate the partnership with Auburn Network and Radio Alabama. It's something that we are greatly appreciative of.
Yeah, absolutely. No, happy to be a part of it and glad we were able to make that work. And we might end up having to do something similar if Auburn continues to win in the NIT, which is we will start today. They did get it done against Seattle last night. Made it interesting down the stretch, as this Auburn basketball team has done several times this year. But they held on. They got the win, and their one win away from the Final Four, Jacob.
Yeah, and this was a game where going into it, you knew it was going to be a challenge offensively against the Seattle U team that just has been exceptional on defense, a top 20 defensive rating in KenPom and allowing just 67 points per game going into the game. Auburn scores 91 on the Redhawks, and it was really a combination of guys like I should start with Elijah Freeman and Kevin Overton. We know what their scoring ability is like. But Sebastian Williams-Adams and then Philip Jovich also contributing in the scoring department was what we've been waiting to see for a while, is specifically with Jovich being assertive and confident. And he really showed that. It was his first game in double digits since he scored a career-high 23 against South Carolina. Sebastian Williams-Adams, I think, matched his career high, which he set in the season opener against Bethune-Cookman all the way back in November, his first game as an Auburn Tiger. So those are the kinds of things that it's the reason you play in this tournament is to see guys that are young really developing and grow into their own. And that even goes to Elijah Freeman, who we've seen more often than Sway and Phillip kind of show that scoring ability and what they're capable of. But he was just on another level in the second half with 16 second half points for Freeman. And he's another guy that I just want to see become more confident and flow with the game. And that's what he was able to do. But yeah, just an all around good performance by this Auburn team. And unfortunately, Seattle U just goes crazy from three in the second half, matches its season high in three-pointers in the second half alone. Auburn able to hold on, though, and advance to the quarterfinal.
You mentioned that Auburn beats Seattle 91-85. Looking at the other part of the bracket, Nevada beats Liberty 89-75, or I'm sorry, they beat Liberty 77-63 to move on to take on the Tigers March 25th. It's an 8 o'clock tip on ESPN2. And while the season has ultimately and obviously not gone the way that Auburn fans and Stephen Pearl was hoping for, Auburn still can get to a really cool mark and something that cannot be overshadowed, and that would be that 20-win mark. And that would be the fifth straight year that Auburn gets to that 20-win mark. And it only happened 10 times before the Pearl legacy got here. So talk about what this game could end up meaning for the Auburn Tigers and another game inside Neville Arena.
Yeah, you're exactly right. In the aspect that winning 20 games in a season in Auburn basketball, it's become a norm for us here in the past decade, but it wasn't that prior to that. So it's something to be celebrated, and it's an accomplishment in itself. And this, the way these tournaments go, you can see how it takes another step every round you advance. And from South Alabama to Seattle U and now to Nevada, you're going to notice it's going to be a noticeable step up in talent and in a level of play. This Nevada team plays in the Mountain West, which is one of the better mid majors in the nation. Get several teams usually into the NCAA tournament. And I think that this is an opportunity where you advance to a Final Four of the NIT and potentially even win a championship. And that's something to hang your hat on it and really carries a lot of momentum into the offseason. We just talked about Elijah Freeman and Sebastian Williams Adams and Philip Jovich and even Kevin Overton. They had great games last night. And those are four guys that you really want to have back this upcoming season. And there's others as well that you want to bring back. But if you do bring those guys back, having that momentum carry into the offseason before you get back for summer workouts and then obviously preseason practice in September, it's something that could really kind of be a launch pad for you when you get to the 26-27 season. And that's going to be very important. As far as this game against Nevada goes, it's going to be interesting. Corey Camper Jr., he had a triple-double in that win over Liberty. I think it was 10 points, 13 assists or rebounds, and then 10 of assists or rebounds, whichever one wasn't 13. And that's just a different style of player that you have to deal with and game plan for, and makes it that much more difficult. What I'll say is I was encouraged last night with the crowd that was inside Neville Arena. It was more packed than it was Tuesday night against South Alabama, and I expect the same on Wednesday. Still a later tip, but it's not 9 o'clock. So we certainly are happy with that tip time versus the 9 o'clock one against South Alabama.
And it also avoids any confliction with Auburn baseball, as the Tigers will not be playing at home. They're playing in Montgomery, but from a broadcast perspective, makes things a little bit easier. As we're talking with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, and do want to talk a little baseball because the Tigers get a big win Friday, right, against Texas, a top five team, as was Auburn, but feels like a little meat left on the bone where you fall in the series as a whole by 2-1. But Auburn's still coming away from the weekend feeling good, but things to improve on and work on as you head into a good midweek game on Tuesday and then heading to Tuscaloosa this weekend.
Yeah, just what an electric weekend in Plainsman Park, regardless of the way games 2 and 3 panned out. The atmosphere in there was as good as it's ever been, and you could see the national attention it got specifically on Friday night, but even on Saturday night when Auburn was trying to mount that comeback it was incredibly electric in there, and obviously the numbers showed for themselves. You set the regular season attendance record on Friday night, and then Saturday you shatter every single game attendance record with 8,037 in attendance, and then it's 22,295 across the three-game series, setting that record. It was truly something that would have been impossible to imagine just 5 years ago, and now it's a reality, and we've seen it in full force. But yeah, you look at the last two games, and it's easy to point to runners left on base, and that's the obvious thing to point towards. And mm-hmm. It's something that I think with this game or this series being in March, you hope it's one you look back on as, all right, that was the series that really helped this team kind of focus in and use its determination to really take the next step. This team is still elite. I mean, the pitching performances you got out of Andreas Alvarez and Jake Marciano, Alvarez against Georgia Tech in the midweek and then Marciano on Friday night, is as good as it gets in college baseball. So you still have that to build off of, and you're still getting guys on base left and right. It was good to see Eddie Madrigal get in a pinch hit scenario and lead off with a double against the Longhorns on Sunday. And Chris Rembert seems to be hitting the ball a lot better now that he's continuing to get healthy. And you can go on and on. It just, you couldn't push that big hit across. That was the key this weekend, while obviously Texas was able to get several big hits from different guys throughout the weekend, and that's why they were able to prevail.
A conversation that we've had earlier on the show was, if Texas is the product of college baseball right now as the number two team in the country, and what Auburn was able to match, although may not have looked the same on the scoreboard on Saturday and Sunday, I think it shows that Butch Thompson's squad is in a absolutely fantastic spot. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the phone lines, and want to stay on the dirt with Auburn softball winning back-to-back games, run ruling South Alabama, a win over Jacksonville State as well. They have Florida A&M tonight before South Alabama again. Talk about what you're seeing with the Malvos as they continue to improve throughout the season.
Yep, so a weekend off from SEC action. There's an odd number of Southeastern Conference teams in softball, so that's just how the schedule lands sometimes. At Auburn, stacking four consecutive non-conference opponents in there to keep things going and try and figure out where this team stands before it hosts Missouri this weekend. But yeah, you had that road game at South Alabama that you win in dominant fashion. And tonight, you have Florida A&M at 5 o'clock Central. And then on Wednesday, South Alabama returns the trip with a 6 o'clock first pitch at J&B Moore Field. And this is going to be a lot of, I think, Auburn trying to really pinpoint its pitching rotation. And the bats are still trying to figure out exactly how the lineup needs to be set. Auburn lost Destiny Rodriguez in the Oklahoma series due to an injury. Dale Wilson now filling in at second base. So it's going to be critical to figure out, all right, where in the lineup is she going to plug in, and how will that impact elsewhere? Kylie Shaw has been a great leadoff batter for the Tigers throughout this season. So I look at the rotation and just kind of how the lineup has been set over the last few games. And those are kind of the critical things to follow as these next two games happen. And then it's back to SEC play this weekend against Missouri. And you want to try and get back into the groove of things. Of course, you get swept by Oklahoma, but you did win that series against Kentucky in wild fashion. You can get right back on track against the visiting Tigers this upcoming weekend.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us every single Monday at 3:30. And look, while there's so much to talk about with Auburn basketball, baseball, softball, the other sports going on right now deserve a lot of love too. A busy time with postseason for equestrian and gymnastics. You've got golf, who's continuing to dominate on the men and women's side. I mean, you name it, we've got it here in Auburn, and it is a busy, busy time right now.
Yeah, men's golf team reclaimed that number one spot in the rankings after a win at the Haight in Sawgrass Country Club. Jackson Coig won his third tournament in four starts, earning SEC Golf of the Week. They're back in action at the Valspar Collegiate at the 480 and down in Palm City. So they'll continue as they look to wrap up their regular season in a strong way. Sixth-ranked women's golf won a match play derby at the old Barnwell Derby in South Carolina beating Alabama, number 16 Mississippi State, and then number 11 TCU. Now they go out to Fort Worth at Colonial Country Club in action of the Charles Schwab Women's Collegiate Invitational today and tomorrow. So lots of golf action today and tomorrow as they're kind of coming down the final stretch of their regular season. And then men's and women's tennis, they're back at home this weekend, 4 days in a row. So you can go hang out at the Yarborough Tennis Center Thursday through Sunday and get a lot of tennis action in as the Tigers just have great matchups on deck. As women's team will host Mississippi State on Thursday at 5. The men's will host LSU on Friday at 3. And then on Saturday, it's the men hosting Alabama at noon. No, that's the women's hosting Alabama at noon. That's a big matchup. And then Sunday, the men wrap it up with South Carolina at noon. All those matches are free to attend. And then on the broadcast side, it gets started tonight with softball against Florida A&M at 5, 4:45 airtime on Wingle 91.1 FM and the Auburn Tigers app. Tomorrow on Wings 94.3 FM, baseball is facing South Alabama in Montgomery. Andy Burch and Brad Law on the call on Wings 94.3 at 5:45. And then Wednesday, NIT quarterfinal action against Nevada. That airtime of 7:30, 8 o'clock tip-off on Wings 94.3 FM. And then softball wraps up that four-game non-conference stretch against South Alabama at 6 o'clock. And then this weekend, it's a huge baseball series at Alabama as the Tigers go Friday through Sunday against the Crimson Tide. They just came off a sweep of the Florida Gators, had a no-hitter on Friday, so that is going to be as highly anticipated as it gets. And then here on the Plains, softball hosts Missouri Friday through Sunday. All those games for softball available on Wingle 91.1 FM and the Auburn Tigers app, and baseball on Wings 94.3 FM and the Auburn Tigers app as well. And then on Thursday, Tiger Talk, we'll have a collection of coaches. It'll be a pre-recorded show that we air on Wings 94.3 FM starting at 6 o'clock.
Yep, tons going on, man. We appreciate you as always, Jacob. You and everybody there at the network for our partnership, our conjunction, but also for you being a longtime guest on this program every single Monday at 3:30. He is Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. For all that information and more, tell people where to go to find it.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at AU Sports Network. Lots of broadcast details there as it relates to men's basketball and baseball. Of course, depending on men's basketball results, things might be shifted around, so that's going to give you the most up-to-date information as possible.
Hillman, we appreciate it, my friend. Enjoy the week. I know it's busy, and we'll do it again next Monday.
Looking forward to it, guys. War Eagle.
Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. Again, been with us a long time here on the show. We appreciate him and his time. And how about this highlight we've got on the TV right now, Christian? This is from the NCAA Women's Tournament. Virginia, I'm going to spoil it for you. They took Iowa to overtime, and Virginia as a 10 seed in the Women's Tournament, taking down the 2 seed Iowa at Iowa. Okay, the NCAA Women's Tournament, they play all these games on campus. Virginia takes down Iowa in the Women's Tournament in double overtime as a first four team.
Bracket buster on the women's side of things right there.
I mean, pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff. First four, the complete a comeback. Yeah, that's crazy. I thought there was more to the update that I had from my phone, but there wasn't.
So is the first four different? Were they? Is it a 10 seed play-in game for the women's?
Oh, you can't do that to me. I don't know.
If they were a 10 seed, but they're the
yes,
first four.
It is. Yep. Yep. And guess what?
The other three?
Those jerseys are sweet.
They are. Those are really sweet.
Those are cool. Yeah. Good for them. That's pretty sweet.
Yep, pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet. Yeah, you should have fired that break already. Okay, well, we'll get to break. Oh, jeez. Did you see Jaxon Smith-Njigba sign an extension today? This is being for real. He signed the extension today. Highest paid receiver in the history of the NFL. I don't know why you're laughing. That dude's making $43 million a year, brother.
That hurts.
You're laughing out of jealousy. Me That's too.
Pretty sweet.
$43 million a year as a wide receiver for a four-year deal for Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
That hurts.
Oh, we didn't ask Hillman about anything from the NCAA tournament. We didn't ask him a thing about it. We're bad radio host.
We'll call him. Talk with him on the way back.
He won't answer.
Those jerseys are pretty sweet.
Okay, we got to get to break. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, wrap up the Monday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And, man, what a good show today. We've talked a ton of college basketball, a little college baseball, a little college football in there, too. So if you missed any of it, be sure to go back and catch it with the podcast version of the show. Did you make it?
Cash.
I mean, you're like 2 feet from it, bro. It's basically a layup.
What was Auburn's percentage on layups this year?
Depends on who it was, what time of the game it was, and what the score was.
No, this was more of a Jalen Williams turn over the right shoulder, little floating hook.
Just no defender.
And shooting down.
Yeah.
The trash can.
Yeah.
Hey, we made it, all right?
Hey, it's all that counts. Yeah, go back and listen to the show today if you missed any of it. ESPNAU.com in the podcast center. Coming up tomorrow, going to have a lot of fun as well. We are having a guest return to the studio who, what's the best way to describe him? This is such a compliment. He's the biggest baseball nerd I know. Just plain and simple.
Very much so.
I mean, just... Yeah. The guy,
but that is the biggest compliment to him.
He is awesome. Very excited to have him back in the studio tomorrow. He'll be with us for all of hour number one with our guy Lindsey Crosby of Braves Today, who also covers Auburn baseball as well. He'll be in the studio for the entire first hour tomorrow. Just got confirmation on that. So from 2 to 3, Lindsey Crosby will join us. Then we will have our weekly interview with a member of Auburn baseball. Cannot spoil that just yet, but we will have that for you tomorrow. And then we'll talk some other things, more NCAA tournament and more storylines from spring practice. Auburn football having its pro day tomorrow, so we'll have some notes from that as well. So it'll be a very jam-packed show on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
Looking forward to talking a little bit more baseball, diving into the three-game set, also a look at the regular season in the MLB, a recap of the World Baseball Classic, everything. Lindsey's got us covered.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So be right here tomorrow, 2 to 4 on ESPN 106.7. We'll see you then. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.